Tenor Marc Hervieux and the Orchestra Metropolitain in performance with Puccini's Nessun Dorma from Turandot. And at the podium, one of the most prolific conductors on the planet. And he's from right here in Canada, Yannick Nézet-Séguin. Both he and his Montreal Orchestra Metropolitain are a big part of a new film that premiered at the Toronto International Film Festival over the weekend, Days of Happiness, from writer-director Chloé Robichaud. So let's welcome our special guest this afternoon. My name is Mark Wigmore. Our look at arts and culture here on the New Classical FM and The Oasis. Yannick Nézet-Séguin is here. The Quebec conductor and pianist is one of the busiest, most talked about, most in-demand music directors in the world at the moment. He is music director of the Orchestre Metropolitain in Montreal, where he has a lifetime appointment, music director with the Metropolitan Opera in New York, music and artistic director with the Grammy-winning Philadelphia Orchestra. He was also the principal conductor of the Rotterdam Philharmonic Orchestra from 2008 through 2018. He's an honorary member and guest conductor with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe. Séguin records exclusively for Deutsche Grammophon. Earlier this year, he conducted the Vienna Philharmonic at the Summer Night Concert at the Schönbrunn Palace grounds. He's released chart-topping albums as well, the Beethoven Symphonies with the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, Bruch and Price alongside violinist Randall Goosby and the Philly Orchestra, and recent Rachmaninoff 150-year celebration album. Now, Yannick Nézet-Séguin is at the movies. He conducted the London Symphony Orchestra for the soundtrack of the new Leonard Bernstein biopic, Maestro, and he is music advisor for a brilliant feature film that premiered at TIFF over the weekend, Days of Happiness. The story following a young orchestra conductor facing challenges at the podium in love and an overbearing father. We are live from Touchwood offices in downtown Toronto. Yannick Nézet-Séguin here. Welcome to the New Classical FM, by the way. Great to finally meet you.
Thank you. Great to meet you, too.
I say your name about a dozen times each day on the radio, so it's really nice to be here. So you were just at the Venice Film Festival with Maestro, that film, and you're here in Toronto, Days of Happiness. I mentioned off the top in my intro before you got here all the different associations you have: New York, Montreal, Philadelphia, Chamber Orchestra of Europe. The list goes on and on and on. So you just thought, let's go after Hollywood as well? Was that the idea?
Yes, because I had so much time on my hands, you know? I think my goal in life, overarching mission, it's not even a goal, it's a mission. It's the same as you do, is to share your love for music with as many people as possible. And when a movie, it talks about classical music and wants me to be involved, you know, why would I say no? I think in both cases, I started working with both directors ahead of time, more as part of their research, you know, Chloé Robichaud and Bradley Cooper, and it so happened that it was at the same time. And it's true that I was scared the whole time, like, will I have time to do these projects justice by being the advisor and by being the coach for conductors and doing the music? But I knew I had to make space for this, because now it seems to be in the air, classical music movies, and I want to be there to represent our world properly.
It's becoming a genre we're seeing.
It's insane. I don't know where it came from, but it's fantastic.
You know, you mentioned your schedule. What does it take to be you? But you and I are the same age. We're both 1975 kids, I think, right?
Great year.
So you've got some catching up to do, obviously, here. So, but
you look amazing.
Yeah, thanks. No, it's a long night, but last night. But I will say that, you know, I look at your schedule. I look at the Grammophon, the Deutsche Grammophon releases. I look at the associations. I look at even just Vienna summer this year, the U.S. Open. What does it take to function?
I can't hide my schedule, and it's hectic sometimes, but I think I remind myself every day, and sometimes it's more difficult than others, but I remind myself every morning, actively, consciously, when I wake up, that this is such a privilege and joy to be able to do what I do. You know, people welcome me in so many different as you said, many different organizations. I make music all the time that's so varied and with different people that I all love and admire and respect, the singers, the instrumentalists, the orchestras, the collaborators. So I think this positive energy is really essential for me to function in. And if I'm in an environment where it's not that positive, I need to find a way to make it positive.
Right. That can be a hill to climb sometimes. You have to change everybody's mind sometimes.
It is. Yeah. Well, you know, we have to, there's no illusion also that when you deal with orchestras and choruses and the hundreds of people, you can't have, you know, unanimity is kind of it's a theory.
Yeah.
However, I think people respond to joy much more than we think sometimes.
I think that could be true.
You know,
I just saw you, you put out a clip of you with Metropolitan Opera and you're getting ready for Dead Man Walking. And somebody was asking me about you and I did an impression of you conducting in that clip. And I only lasted about 20 seconds because there's so much energy that's going into that. I'm like, how does he keep going? So that made me think about your exercise routine, your food, your sleep. I mean, that must be so important for you to manage.
Yeah, all three things. Yeah. You're right. And I did not start this way. You know, I was absolutely the typical guy, no sports at all.
Right.
I hated sports at school, did nothing physical. And then I started conducting, and three, four years into it, I just realized I needed to take care of what makes me free to express, you know, which is my body. So then exercise became important. Then I realized how a life hygiene, you know, discipline, you know, oh, don't get me wrong, I drink champagne a lot, but I mean, I'm not, you know, the famous, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and not for me. And
Donors want to have a drink with their hero, right? Like, that's what happens, right?
Or I need also my close friends to be with me.
Sure.
You know, I think to live is also important as an artist, you know, so, but it's just, everything is a question of balance. I know it's maybe a boring answer, but that's what it is. You know, it's a question of balance. And whenever there is one day, one free day, just the mindset of enjoying that one free day and feeling the luxury of sleeping in takes only one day. It's okay. Then I don't need necessarily 3 months, you know? And I'm also well aware that I'm 48 and, you know, in 50, it's already more difficult. Jet lag is way more difficult than it used to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, at 58 is going to be maybe a little slower, and 68 certainly much slower. And I look at Herbert Blomstedt going strong at 96. It's exactly double our age.
Right.
So I have something to look forward to.
I like the goal-driven life that you live, and I like the positivity. And I want to talk about this film, Days of Happiness, writer-director Chloe Robichaud, and a young woman making her way through the conducting orchestra system. I'll just give a little synopsis here because not everybody's going to have seen it, but a father, very supportive and passionate, but also overbearing, a violent temper, a mother who is burdened with that father-daughter relationship. This young woman is a lesbian, and she's desperate for love, and she's desperate for connection as she conducts Mozart and Mahler and Schoenberg with the orchestra, your orchestra, in fact, the Orchestra Metropolitan. And it's a person working through the system that I don't think is really designed for her. Why were you drawn to that story?
Two things. So the first reason for me is music as a vehicle of freedom of the individual's emotions. Through the film, without giving any spoiler, we see how music is always the way in with which the emotions of the character Emma are expressed, but also through music she's actually able to overcome what's holding her back in her life.
Right. So it's a yin and yang relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's so you related to that.
Don't we all? I mean, I don't relate to the story of Emma at all. I mean, I relate, of course, you know, the homosexuality, the fact of my now husband being in the orchestra, as you know, the lover of Emma is also in the orchestra. But I mean, I don't relate in terms of the parental story at all.
I was about to ask, because you know, I would imagine such a achieving person as yourself, there were people who pushed you in your life, and I was wondering if there were parents.
I have to say, my parents are kind of, I wouldn't say the opposite of the parents there, but almost. They were just emotionally supportive and never pushed, because they were not musicians themselves.
Right, interesting.
And they were always, I always quoted them and still quote them as, or bring them as an example of being supportive, conscious, encouraging, but without being overbearing. And that balance is very fine, as we see in the film, for music. But also, I mean, you can relate to all the hockey parents, or, you know, everything in sports, or everything that needs a high level achievement when you're young, a development of abilities.
You have a lot of mentors, and you have to have a lot of attention, and you have to have a lot of people
exactly.
around you.
But this was all done with love, as far as I'm concerned. And so maybe that's why also the story touches me, because I know it could have been very different, and I realize how lucky I was not to have this kind of burden. I mean, we all come with baggage, and you know. But the fact that it relates to the new way of being in the classical world, the way with which I hope we are moving towards. Yes, it used to be one model, this overarching white male that was there, and the conductor that was this kind of dictator. We've been talking a lot about this and how that model slowly has disappeared. But up until very recently, and I have to say even like a few weeks ago, and I won't name necessarily which conductor, but you know, there's stories of physical abuse, violence, behavior that's tolerated, but that shouldn't be tolerated. It's not only in classical music, it's in many fields, but we also have our own share of this. And then you arrive and you have younger people having to, it's just our role as conductors to be guiding our peers. And then you get, yes, this young, in the case of the film, the young woman, lesbian, and wants to connect differently and not with the traditional forceful way.
Right.
And this I relate, of course, because 20 something years ago when I started my career, I had to reflect on those aspects. What will make Yannick, this young, inexperienced, gay, not especially tall man, being in front of these people, and how can I guide them so that they will listen to what I have to say? So I had to reflect, and going in my preparation, my seriousness, my joy and passion for music. And I think that along the way, sometimes I got swayed and, oh, Yannick, I should decide I should be a bit more strict or direct, or I should be a bit more mean. And we see those evolutions in Emma, yeah. And actually they don't work. It works only if you're completely free to be yourself. And I think there is now increasingly a space and a place for this in our world of symphonic music. And that movie is really of its time, yeah. Because it shows that.
I felt like there were moments in her conducting style where I was seeing you a little. There's a physical representation there. Was I dreaming that?
No, of course.
Yeah.
Of course not. I mean, I, alongside Tourville, we were like four coaches, but I was overseeing the whole thing. And of course, you know, I would make videos of me conducting those pieces. So yeah. Bearing in mind that it shouldn't look like me, but I'm myself at the end of the day. I can't can't hide it.
Well, it was just nice to see that reflection of you there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a great film, and I think your involvement in it has really made it special, and so congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Yannick Nezet-Séguin is with us, very, very special here on the New Classical FM. I just want to mention a couple of projects that you are working on. I should quickly ask about Rachmaninoff, which was number one album on our New Classical FM Top 20 chart not that
fantastic.
Long ago. Part of the big 150 celebration, and two records with Philadelphia, by the way, this year, I should point out.
Well,
one with Vienna.
I'm so lucky to be the music director in Philadelphia. Yeah. The rapport I have with the musicians is incredible, and of course, there's everything that the orchestra plays, they have a special sound. But when it comes to Rachmaninoff, obviously there's so much love and respect from them to their own tradition of playing this music. It feels a little bit like playing Bruckner with Vienna Philharmonic. You know, there's something, it's like the shrine of this music. And right. I love passionately this music. Myself being a pianist, I think I love to mirror the rubato, that is when a piano player is playing Rachmaninoff, trying to do the same as a conductor with a full orchestra. So yes, those recordings were pretty unique. And we're going on tour now in a few weeks to Europe to play all of these symphonies. And
I could see you going through the schedule in your brain to figure that out. And I want to point out, you're going to be playing Kerner Hall with the Philadelphia Orchestra as well, coming up in April, which is going to be super special here in Toronto. I'll see you again.
I miss Toronto very much. I mean, my visits with Toronto Symphony were always great memories for me, and it's so sad that in a way I'm just a little too busy now. I don't barely ever guest anywhere, but I keep telling the people at Toronto Symphony, when I get less busy, Toronto is very high on my list to come back. So in the meantime, I came with Orchestre Métropolitain a few years ago at the Kerner Hall, and to bring the Philadelphians there is going to be very special.
It is very special, and such a treat to spend a little time with you. Thank you, Yannick, for
being with us. Thank you so much.